Hello, this is Rod Sloan, and welcome to episode 55 of the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast, the world's favourite sales and marketing alignment podcast. And I have a great guest for you in this episode 55. My guest in episode 55 is Shep Hyken. Shep is a best-selling author and a great conference speaker. You may have come across him when he's speaking about culture. Anyway, more about Shep later. Now, as I record this podcast, we're a week away from the BAFTA Movie Awards here in London. So BAFTA is the British Academy of Film and Television. Now, you may think, okay, that's a bit like the US Academy and the Academy Awards and the Oscars. That's all about the movies and looking glamorous. But did you know that BAFTA itself produces a podcast? It's produced 100 podcasts. Now, this is an organisation that's all about movies and TVs and now games. But they seek to get their message out by producing a podcast. So my message to you before we get to our guest interview is, do you produce a podcast? If not, why not? I can really encourage you, whether you're a one-man operation, whether you're IBM, whether you're BAFTA, produce a podcast. It gets the message out. And the message in this episode of the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast is, how can we go about improving our culture so we can get sales and marketing to speak together? And I can think of no better guest than Shep Hyken. Shep is a customer service expert. He's a speaker, and not only is he a New York Times best-selling business author, but he's also a Wall Street Journal best-selling business author. He's also a very engaging guest. So, here's my interview with Shep Hyken. So, on the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast today, I have Shep Hyken from St. Louis. Hello, Shep. How are you?
Hello, Rod. It's great to be here.
Okay. Now, Shep is a customer service expert. He's a speaker and a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling business author. The book you probably know him for is The Amazement Revolution, 7 Customer Service Strategies to Create an Amazing Customer and Employee Experience. So congratulations for being a best-selling business author, Shep. How did that work out for you?
Well, my mom's really proud. But seriously, you know, writing a book is always a challenge. The fact that I was able to sell a lot of books means that obviously I did something that resonates with the business community out there. I had really good luck on the last couple of books hitting the list, and can't wait to write my next one, which will come out next September 2013.
Okay. Well, you can share that with us later. That'd be good. So you talk a lot about creating and working on culture in companies, Shep, and I talk a lot about that as well. So what tips could you give people who are maybe in sales or marketing or CEOs who are listening to this podcast anywhere around the world about, I think, we could do with improving our company culture? What are sort of practical things they can attempt to do?
Sure. And recognize, from my background, my focus is on building great relationships with customers and employees. And I believe that the best companies that are able to do that, not just the best people, but the best companies, have a culture that's focused and very, what I would call, customer-centric. And ironically, customer-centric doesn't always mean outside customer. It also means internal customer or employee. Because, and here's the big piece of this, what's happening on the inside of any organization is going to be felt by a customer on the outside.
Okay. So that's the reason to do it, and that's great. So how do most companies go about doing it? What works for them in trying to do this?
The first thing I believe they recognize, they have to hire to the culture. And there's several, there's a cliche out there. There's several ideas, but this cliche says, hire the attitude, train the skill. And I say there's one extra piece of that. And by the way, you can't always train the skill. Sometimes you want to hire hire skilled people. If you're looking to bring on engineers, you can't bring on somebody that has a great attitude and then expect them to learn how to be an engineer in the next 6 months. No, they go to school for that. But so you do sometimes have to deal with a skill set, but you want to make sure the attitude fits in with the culture that you're trying to create and the personality. So the personality means you're going to work well with others. You're going to be a good team member. And so the first piece of this is hiring right.
Okay. If the CEO just says, we've got to change the culture in here, and slams his fist on the table, go change the culture, he says, does that tend to work, that approach, or do you need something better than that?
Well, it's not going to happen overnight, that's for sure. And the first thing we have to say is, does the CEO preface that by saying, we have great people, I think we could do better? And I think then it's like, now let's go out and tweak the culture, change the culture, become more customer-centric or customer-focused. At that point, there's a shot at doing it. So here's the first step. And I've written this book titled Cult of the Customer. And this was the book prior to the Amazement Revolution. And we talked about five phases or cults that customers reside in. But ironically, the employees of any company reside in these cults as well, and they go through the same phases. So if we take a look at that, this is what it takes to build a culture. Number one, everybody who comes to work for a company is going to be in the first cult or phase no matter what, and it's called uncertainty. They only hope it's going to be a great experience. They hope they're going to work for a great company. They hope that this is going to be a job that they want to stay at the rest of their lives. So that's phase number one, uncertainty. And the goal is to move them out of uncertainty into an area that we call ownership, which is the fourth cult. But let's talk about what happens in between.
Okay.
So first we have uncertainty. Next we go into something called alignment. And that is once, and let's take it from the standpoint of one person in the company, an employee. This employee comes to work, they're uncertain, they hope it's going to be great. So now the company starts to share with them mission, values, they give them training, and they start to move that employee into alignment with what the company's goal is, what the company's brand promise is. I love it when companies take it upon themselves to have good visions and mission statements, but I think they also have to have something called the mantra. Or a credo. I call it a mantra. And it's a one-sentence version of what the company's about. I'll give you a quick example of this. I'll give you two examples. I'll give you one from me and one from one of my favorite clients. The Ritz-Carlton, I love to write about them. Great organization. Their credo is simply, we're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you go to work for this organization, you know what that means. Hey, I'm a lady or a gentleman, and I'm going to serve people like their ladies and gentlemen. And if the guest hears it, they get it too. So it's a great credo or a mantra, as I like to call it. My mantra is always be amazing. I love the word amazing, and there's a whole background on that. But essentially, I want to be amazing to the people that I work with here at the office and in my company. I want to be amazing to my clients, and I want to teach my clients to be amazing to their clients and customers. So that's my little bit. Anyway, the whole idea of the mantra is to get people into alignment. Very simply, this is what we stand for. This is what we achieve. Once this employee is in that phase or cult of alignment, they start to say, okay, I get it. I understand it. Now I need to experience it. So that's the third phase. They're going to start to experience what the company stands for. And if that experience, and this is where they move into ownership, is positive, it is what they expect, they get good reinforcement, they feel comfortable delivering on it, then they move into ownership. And ownership's a great place to be. And to give you a quick example, if you were to buy a home, the first night in the home, it gets dark, you don't even know where the light switches are.
Yeah.
But what happens is over a period of time, you learn where they are. And not only do you learn where they are, but you can walk around without the lights on eventually. You don't even need the light switches. You own that experience. You own that home. And it's the same thing in business. You want your customers and you want your employees, in this case, the employees, to own the experience. They want to own the brand promise. They want to deliver on it. And it becomes confidence because every time they do it, they get it's reinforced. It's reinforced either by other people internally or maybe it's reinforced when the customer says, thank you very much. I'll be back. And they come back. So that gets them into experience. And then, of course, we talk about the experience being a positive one, better than average consistently, and that moves them into the phase of amazement.
Okay.
So that to me is a real simplistic overview of how you move an employee from not understanding what the culture is to a point where they're delivering what I call customer amazement. Okay.
This is Rod Sloan. I'm talking to Shep Hyken on the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. We're talking about company culture. Now, there may be people listening to this, Shep, anywhere, and they're thinking, oh, well, that's all fine and dandy. We can do that in good times, but times are tough at the moment. You know, we've got to focus on revenue and survival, and you're talking all this, you know, great talk. We'll do that when the good times come back. How would you respond to people who sort of take that attitude?
Let's see. How do you guys say it over in the UK? That's a bunch of pop.
We might say something stronger than that, actually.
Yeah. But seriously, that is a bunch of malarkey. That that's an excuse not to do the right thing, because we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, in good times and bad, the companies that deliver value, the companies that have a culture that's focused on value, will outperform ones that aren't. And, you know, again, my area comes in the world of customer service. Yours is sales and marketing. But let's keep this in mind. We all have to work together. And the goal is to keep your numbers strong. So we can track various publicly held companies here in the U.S. And there was a study done by the University of Michigan. They actually have a program called the American Customer Satisfaction Index. And if you would have bought a group of publicly held companies, their stock, and held it for 10 years through really bad times and some good. And there was a 10-year period that it was more bad than good. Interestingly enough, in the period of 10 years, the S&P performed, the general market performed at about, it almost doubled in 10 years.
Okay.
And the group of stocks that were focused on creating a culture that was customer-centric and delivered a great customer experience more than doubled that performance. Recently, that same study was done, but what they did is they held on to companies that continued to perform well with the customer satisfaction index, and they shorted the companies that fell short, you know, on an annual study. So if a company didn't do as well as it did the year before, they not only sold it, they shorted the company. And they found that they were able to 4x what the general market did. Now, what that tells me is that this is success, that delivering that level of service, delivering to a customer and having an organization that's focused and has a culture of being customer-centric is going to far outperform those that don't, in good and bad times.
Okay. Well, you've amazed me today, Shep. I can certainly say that to you. So, now, if people want to find out more about you or get copies of your book, where should they go online?
Well, let's just give them two places. One, they can always go to Amazon.com. But if they really want to do it right and they want to order it direct from my website and they make a little note, I'll actually sign a book. And usually we throw in a few extra little goodies to make somebody happy that they bought from us. So you could just go to my website, hyken.com, hyken.com.
Shep, I want to thank you for your time today on the Sales and Marketing Alignment Podcast. Thank you.
Rod, thank you. Hope we get to do this again.